This morning, I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 20. Joshua chapter 20. Today, the title of my message is Cities of Refuge. Cities of Refuge. God had made a special provision for a certain condition. And it comes up in the story of the cities of refuge. And I find it interesting that everything that God set up for the nation of Israel to follow points to Christ. I mean, the Passover points to Christ. This points to Christ. The Promised Land points to Christ. Everything in the Old Testament points to Christ. And they should have known what this was all about. It's an interesting story. I was asked after the first message, do they still practice that today? No. But, you know, we all need some place of refuge. You know, we all seek refuge from something. You know, you go out and you work in your yard in the summertime, you want to get out of the what? You want to get out of the heat. You want to get out of the sun. You seek refuge inside a nice air-conditioned building. Sometimes there's so much noise in a crowd that, or you might be in a department store or someplace where there's a large crowd of people, and you say, I just want to get what? Out of here and find peace and quiet. Moms and dads, your kids probably drive you nuts and everything else, and you probably want to just go in your room and shut the door and just say, just let me find a refuge here. Sometimes we have days at work and we just overwhelmed by all those things. And you just want it to stop. And you just want all this bad stuff to just stop. And you go and you might find a Calgon moment. Okay? My refuge is a shower, okay? Don't get any visual images of that. But boy, when things go wrong, that's where I go. I'll go to the shower. Because in that, my little safe space there, nothing can bother me until the water runs out. And then it doesn't. You know, some refuge are not permanent. They're only temporary. So this morning, I want to point out three things about this passage on the cities of refuge. And you can find it in Joshua chapter 20. We'll also find it in Numbers chapter 35 and also in Deuteronomy chapter 19. But the three questions is, why were these cities of refuge made available in the first place? It's because God saw a problem and God had a solution. Okay? The second thing is, what did one attain when they went into the cities of refuge? They found safety. They found God's provision. And then the real thing is, what does this all mean? It had a practical application for the nation of Israel. It also has a spiritual implication for us. And so what is the application of the cities of refuge? So in our passage this morning, Joshua chapter 20, verses 1 through 9, which is the entire chapter, we see this. Joshua is now in the Promised Land. They've conquered. They've taken all possession of most of the land. And God had already told the nation of Israel through Moses what this was going to be like. And so now it's time to put the plan in action. See, God shows us all these things. He wants us to put God's plan, His plan, into action. And so it says, the Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses. Deuteronomy 19, Numbers chapter 35. Those are the books of Moses. That the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. Let me tell you an illustration of what this is really about. In the Mosaic law and God's law, he said, you take someone's life, your life is also forfeit. They can take it. Life for life, tooth for tooth, eye for eye. And so if you kill somebody, that near turn, that near of kin could come, the avenger of blood could come and find you. We're not talking about murder here. We're talking about accidental death. Axe falls off a handle and slays somebody while you're chopping wood, or you're throwing rocks around, you don't see anybody around, and you hit somebody and they die. It had no intent here at all. So this doesn't apply to murder. This talks about something that you didn't intend on doing, but it happened anyway. And it says, and when he that doth flee unto one of these cities shall stand in the entering of the gate of the city and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city unto them and give him a place that he may dwell among them. So the issue is, you can't lie about this either. Now God's going to give the people in these cities discernment on who's telling the truth or not. See, God, you can't short circuit God's plan. Verse 5, it says, and if the avenger blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly and hated him not before times. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall come and shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city and unto his own house, unto the city from whence he fled. And they appointed Kadesh in Galilee and Mount Naphtali, and Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and Kirjathaim, which is Hebron, in the Mount of Judah. And on the other side, Jordan, by Jericho eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan out of the tribe of Manasseh. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth any person at unawares might flee thither and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood until he stood before the congregation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. Father, we just ask that you just help us, Lord, to understand the truth of it, and that we would apply it to our lives. Father, I pray that you bind Satan on our behalf, that Father, that you keep all the distractions away. And Father, just help us, Lord, to hear what you want us to hear this morning. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So there's three things this morning, those three questions this morning, talking about these cities of refuge. And we're going to see absolute parallels between the cities of refuge and the church. Absolute parallels between the slayer and us. Absolute parallels between Christ and the high priest. The first thing is that we need to understand the availability to the slayer. There was a problem, and God has a solution. God has a solution for all of your problems. It's called God's Word. And we need to know it, and we need to follow it. That priest needed to do it on the Jericho Road. That Levite needed to do it on the Jericho Road. The Samaritan did. Which one are you? Which one are you? And so these cities were accessible. They were nearby. We need to understand that God is always nearby, that salvation is always nearby in our problems. Call on Him while He is near. Seek Him while He can be found. In the law of Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 19, verses 3 and 6, we see some other issues about these cities. It says, thou shalt prepare thee a way and divide the coast of thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee to inherit, into how many parts? Three parts, that every slayer may flee thither. See, God wanted to have something that was close. Salvation is close. Protection is close. And so he says, when you come into the land, you divide up the land by lots, you divide it into three sections. And then you put these cities in these sections so it's not too far away to get refuge. See, refuge in God is never far away. God's already thought that out. In verse 6, lest the avenger of blood pursue the slayer while his heart is hot and overtake him because the way is what? Long. See, God doesn't want you to have to work a whole lot to get to Him. He's here right now. Amen. It's easy. It's easy. And slay him, whereas he was not worthy of death, inasmuch as he hated him not in times past. It was an accident. So the first thing we see is the availability of the slayer, that these cities were accessible. Now, I put it on a map here. You can see they were kind of strategically mapped out. And so they were, none of these cities were far from anywhere in Israel. God is not far from us today. He's right here, right now. But sometimes we act that God is remote. He's far away. He's not. He knows the problems that you're going to have. He knows the issues that you're going to have. And He's made a way. He's made a way. So the first thing is to the slayer, these cities were accessible. The second thing is these cities were all inclusive. Now, we're not talking about resorts. We're not talking about you going to get everything there, although they did take care of them. But we're talking about that anyone could approach these cities. It wasn't just for the Jews. It just wasn't for the Israelites. In number 35, verse 15, it says, these six cities shall be a what? Refuge, both for the children of Israel and for the stranger, the non-Israelite, and for the sojourner, someone that's just walking through. This law applies among them, that everyone that killeth any person unaware may flee thither. See, God's invitation, God's refuge is for everyone. You know, there's a big case going on right now in the news about a WNBA star that went to Russia with things that were illegal in Russia but legal in the States. And everybody's crying out, hey, this is not right. No, it's the Russian law. It's not everybody follows our law. But you know something? Everybody needs to follow God's law. God's law is for everybody, not just where you are. And here God says it's not just for you. It's also for the stranger. It's also for the person that's just passing through. Oh, I'm so glad that we serve a merciful God. I'm so glad that we serve a God that's available to all. So we see the first thing is this availability to the slayer, that these cities were accessible and that these cities were all inclusive. Anyone that had this problem could come to the city and find refuge. Secondly, we see the things that were attained by the slayer when he got there. When he got there. Now, we go through all these names again, and these names have significance. Because they talk about the things that the slayer will get. Or this person that he didn't commit a crime, it was just an accident that he'll get when he gets to the city of refuge. The first one is that he gets salvation from the avenger of blood. Now, it's a temporary one, but here's the point. He has to stay inside the city. The second thing is he has to appeal his case to the gate, to the people in the gates to say, hey, let me in. See, you just can't lie and get salvation. It's an issue of the heart. It's an issue of motive. And so we see here salvation from the avenger of blood. The name Bezer means that it's an inaccessible spot. See, we talk about God hiding us. In John chapter 10, it says that who God the Father gave to Christ are in Christ's hands, and no man can take them out of what? My hand. See, being God is an inaccessible place. Satan can't get there. The world can't get there. Man can't get there. And so Bezer is an inaccessible place. In Psalm chapter 91, verses 9 and 10, it says, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy what? Thy habitation. Folks, if you want to be in God's refuge, you need to be in His place. Don't look for things when you're out of His will, when you're out of His place. Because salvation is in the city of God. Salvation is only in God. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. So the first thing is that the slayer, the guy who is innocent of a crime, finds there, he finds protection. He finds salvation from the avenger of blood. The second thing is he finds security in the presence of God's people. Now, one of the interesting things about these six cities is they were picked out of the 48 cities that were given to the Levites. The Levites were never given land. They were given cities, and those cities were scattered across the nation, so the people that were serving God were always near. They were always there. And they got the cities, and they got what they call the suburbs, about 2 miles outside of the city. They got that area. Now, God says, out of these 48 cities, you need to pick six of them to be these cities of refuge. I'm so glad that the Levites didn't do like they did the Samaritan, or the guy on the side of the road, and said, not us. Folks, there's security in the presence of God's people. The word for Kadesh means sanctum. It's where we find an inner sanctuary. We find a sanctuary. Psalm chapter 20, verse 1 and 2, it says, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob, what? Defend thee. One of the things in our passage we said is once that guy was allowed in, once a slayer was allowed into the city, everybody was duty bound to protect him from the avenger of blood as long as he stayed inside. Folks, you know what? We have a duty to other Christians. We have a duty to other people in our church. We have a duty to people outside. It's our neighbors. Okay? And folks, when we're in God's will and in God's word and doing what God wants us to do, there's security there. I want people to feel secure when they come in here. Not just physically, but also spiritually. It says, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob, what? Defend thee. Send thee help from the what? From the sanctuary. And strengthen thee out of Zion. You know, God can intervene in all of our lives, but oftentimes He uses us to be the intervener, to be the people who intervene. What have we done for God this week? What have we done to protect somebody this week? See, there's a lot of people that are seeking refuge. What have we done to provide that? So the salvation from the avenger of blood, there's security in the presence of God's people. And then nextly, there's strength to continue. You know, have we gotten to the point, and probably all have gotten to the point, that all these things happen to our lives and we reach the end of our rope. And we say, stop it! I've had enough! I don't want any more! We might cry out like David did to God. We've all been there, haven't we? We've all been. It's just, if I could just catch a what? A break. If I could just find some relief from this. That's what the slayer found when he went into the city of refuge of Shechem, which means shoulder. It's also a physical description because the town of Shechem was between two hills. So it's kind of like in a saddle of two hills. But the shoulder represents the strength of us. You know, and God wants to renew our strength. In Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27, it says this, and it shall come to pass in that day that His burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder. Boy, when he was outside the city of refuge, why is he's running for his life. He gets there and he gets inside the city and he finds what? protection. He finds relief. He finds security. He finds strength. He says, I've made it. I've made it. And now he's depending on where he is for his sustenance, where he is for his strength. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of his anointing. He's free. It's gone. It's gone. So Thane's attained salvation from the avenger of blood, security in the presence of God's people, because they should have been full of God's ministers. Strength to continue when all hope was lost. The next fellowship with God's people. Hebron means seat of association or seat of fellowship. If you know your Bible history, you know that Hebron was the first place that David ruled for 7 years. And everybody came to Hebron because they are of what? Like mind. They wanted to have affinity with David. You could read that in here. But Hebron is a seat of association. Everybody was on the same page. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 17 says, but he that is joined in the Lord is what? One spirit. So when he got into the city, he found God's people there. He found God's help there. He found God's salvation there. He found security there. He found strength there. Oh, isn't that a great thing? When we're resting in the Lord. So he finds fellowship with God's people, and then he's lifted above his distress. The word for Ramoth equals heights. Ramoth was up in the northeastern section of this, up in the hilly area. Okay? And you know, when you're lifted up and you're sitting up high, you can see danger coming. You can look over all the expanse and you say, wow, this is a great view. When that person got into the city, he's understanding that God's provision. It's like the psalmist says in Psalm 18, verse 48. He says, he delivereth me from my enemies. Yea, thou what? Liftest me up above those that rise up against me. That avenger of blood had no place there. He had no way to sneak in because the people were protecting him. God had made it that way. It says, rise up those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the what? Violent man. You know, Christ said, or God said this, is there's no weapon that's fashioned against me that shall what? Shall prosper. Says nothing can separate us from the love of God in Romans chapter 8. Because God has lifted us up. We talked about grace. This is a picture of God's grace here. And in Ephesians chapter 2, it says that he's caused us to sit in heavenly places. He's raised us up, caused us to sit in heavenly places. So here's a man that's running for his life. Probably the lowest point of his life because he's taken life unwittingly. And now he runs here and he finds salvation, he finds security, he finds strength, he finds fellowship, and he is lifted up. He's lifted up because he's where God wanted him to be. So if you have all these things, what would you have? You would have a joy as a result of the deliverance, and that's what Golan means. We've heard of the Golan Heights, that's exactly where this is. Okay, it's in the middle of the Golan Heights. Golan equals their captivity, but their rejoicing. You know, we could be in the worst strait in our life, but still have peace in God. We could still be in the worst place in our life and still praise God. Look at Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail. Look at Peter. Look at Paul when he was writing from Rome. We could still have peace. Even though he's in kind of like inside the city and can't go anywhere else, he still has joy because the avenger of blood is on the outside and he's protected on the inside. In Psalm 32, verse 2, it says, "Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile." What was the condition for getting there? You had to be truthful about it. You had to say this was an accident. It wasn't murder. You weren't trying to short circuit the system. You got in there like this. And now he's here. I'm here. Have you ever had a long trip and when you get to the destination, you say, I'm glad I'm here. And it might have been a tough one. You might have had a flat tire along the way or a broken air conditioner or something else. And I'm just happy that I'm here. Folks, we should have rejoicing being where God wants us to be, seeing God's people work.
Amen.
And seeing the peace and security that does. So what did the slayer get when he got to this city? He got salvation from the avenger of blood. He got security in the presence of God's people. He got strength when his strength was running out. He got fellowship with God's people. He got people that were of like mind. Say, hey, we're going to help you out here. He rose above. He rose above the distress that he was in. And that was gone away. And that led him to joy. So real quickly in closing, there's the application to the slayer. We see God's law at work. God's law at work. God knew that this condition was going to happen, and God made a way. God knows where you are today, and God's made a way. God's got a solution for you. And he says, I've got this problem. You've got this problem, and I have the solution. See, here the law about the cities of refuge was supposed to drive the innocent slayer to the city. But you know something? The law should drive us as sinners to the cross. The cross is our refuge. The cross is where salvation happens. The cross is where we find security in Christ. The cross is where we can have fellowship. The cross is where we get our strength. The cross is where God lifts us up out of the miry clay. The cross is where we have joy. And all the things we go in should drive us to the cross. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 24 says, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." But you know something? For that guy that created the accident or caused the accident, he had to believe that this was true. He had to trust that the people would let him in. He had to trust that all of God's promises would come true in order for him to act on that. Folks, that's just what we have to do when we come to the cross. We have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We have to believe that he did die on the cross for our sins. You have to believe all these things by faith. So we see God's law at work. Secondly, we see God's salvation at work. See, it's kind of like a Hebrews 11 moment. We have all these Old Testament saints and they're looking forward to the promise of the Messiah. The Old Testament talks about Christ. And but the promise of Christ. And Hebrews 11 talks about all these people that went through all these things. They never saw Christ in person, but they knew he was coming. You know, these probably the first time that these dudes ever visited these cities was when they had a need. Folks, do you see your need this morning? Your need is Christ.
Amen.
Your need is the cross. Amen. You need to flee to the city of refuge. God made a way. He's near. He's made a provision. It's interesting. When was the guy allowed to leave? Well, he's already been judged. He's been allowed in the city. So that has already been said. He's worthy of this thing. We're all sinners, right? We don't deserve any God's mercy. But God made mercy for us. And so freedom for the slayer was found in the death of the high priest at that time. So while that high priest was alive, he had to stay in the city. But when the high priest died, he could go back and he had total freedom. See, the death of Christ brings a sinner freedom too. Hebrews chapter 9 verses 11 and 12 says this. It says, but Christ being come a what? And high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once in the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. See, Christ said this. He says, whom the Son sets free, he is free indeed. Old things passed away. All things become new. You're a new creature. He's changed you. You're bought with a price. You're justified in God's sight. And so we see here in these cities of refuge, it was a way for someone who caused a crime that, not a crime, but cause a death that they didn't really cause. They didn't want to do it, but they had a place to flee. Folks, we're all sinners. We may not want to sin, but we do. And God's made a way. And His Word should drive us to the cross of Christ. His Word should understand that God is accessible, that God is all-inclusive, that God brings salvation from the avenger of blood. You can pay for your sins your own way with your own life, or you can have the blood of Christ do it for you. You can see that God brings security, and God brings strength, and God brings fellowship, and God lifts you up, and God gives you the joy of salvation. But we have to come to Him. The only protection for that slayer was in the city of refuge. The only protection for us spiritually is the cross of Christ. Let Christ be your refuge today. Let Christ be your refuge today. In Psalm 46 verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You got trouble today? God's here. You got problems today? God's here. You've been fleeing and running away from things? Run to God. Run to His cross. See His mercy. See His grace. We see in this story, we see God's mercy. We see God's grace. We see God's provision. We see all these things that God's got for us. Flee to Him today. Amen? Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time. Lord, just ask Be with this time of invitation. Father, just search our hearts, Lord. Just help us, Lord, to follow You. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.